And joining us now is Teresa Misenko, a deployment specialist with the San Diego Fleet and Family Support Center. She's with us from the studios of member station KPBS in San Diego. And Teresa, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure.
Let's try that again. Can you say hello to us again? Make sure you're on the right microphone.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
There we go. We're all set. We can hear you well. Can you describe for us some of the support services the Navy offers to the dependents of service members?
We have a variety of support services available. Let me begin with some that have to do with money. We have financial programs available to help families learn how to manage money successfully. They stem from the most basic class in investing all the way to managing credit wisely, evaluating your credit report. And then we have some innovative programs that help with home buying. With the interest rates being what they are, everybody's excited about buying a home, and we want to make sure that they have the best information available on that. Car buying seminars, that's just a little bit of the financial program. Military spouses frequently have to reinvent their careers because when their sailor moves, they have to start at a new job. And we have a wonderful program called the Spouse Employment Assistance Program that can help them to find a job, to create a resume, to do mock interviews. Those are just some of the services that we have. Also, of course, counseling for those that have personal issues that they're dealing with and would like a confidential setting to get help with those things, and lots more.
Well, let's get a caller involved. Randy joins us on the line from Virginia Beach.
Hello. Hi, Randy.
Hello. I just had two quick comments. One, I want to say a big thank you to Miss Meredith out there that does the sink house deal for all the spouses out there. And just a thanks to the spouses in general, because it takes a special type of a woman, or I guess politically correct statement would be person, to be a military spouse today.
Mm-hmm. Virginia Beach is a Navy town, right?
Oh, definitely Navy military town.
Yep. So what's going on with you? Are you in the military?
Yes, I am.
And what's going on with your family?
I just recently returned from deployment, so I should be safe for a little while. But we're ready to go at the drop of a dime, and the wife picks up right where I leave, and without a hiccup.
What did she tell you about what it was like when you were gone? Was it especially difficult this particular time?
Not really. I'm not new to this. I've been doing this for about 14 years now, and I've done several deployments, some 6 months, 9 months, one up to a year long. So she's well acclimated into it, and they have very strong spousal groups, whether it's on the enlisted side or the officer side. The women or the spouses in general stay together, and they help each other out whenever we do deploy. So if there's a question, you got the Fleet Resource Center that helps out, and other spouses get involved as well.
Well, Randy, thanks very much, and thanks to your wife, too. Appreciate it. We're talking about the ups and downs of life in a military family. Our guest is Teresa Misenko. More with her when we return from a short break. And our phone number is 800-989-8255. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, we'll go to school on Iraq. We've invited experts to share their recommended reading lists to better understand Iraq and the current situation. Today, we're talking about the stresses on military families as the United States prepares for a possible war. To get in on the conversation, give us a phone call, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. With us is Teresa Misenko, a deployment specialist with the San Diego Fleet and Family Support Center. She's with us from the studios of member station KPBS in San Diego. And I wanted to read you an email we got from Angela, who writes, I've been dating a soldier for over 2 years, long distance, so it's difficult to access the traditional sources of support. The web has been a godsend to me, to the point about being supportive of your military loved one and being anti-war. It can be done, she writes. I support the soldiers and deplore the politics. I don't see a contradiction. Do you get involved at all in these, the politics surrounding all of this have to be a part of the emotional strain?
Well, we recognize that it does present a strain, but Fleet and Family Support doesn't focus on the politics. We're here to support the service member and their families. And the way we do that is by focusing on providing them with non-biased information, resources to help them manage deployment. To do anything else would be very subjective, and we don't want to muddy the water even more with our own personal opinions. We want to give the individual who contacts us objective information on how they can get back on track. And that's what FFSC's services are and what our focus is.
Are you seeing an increased use of your services as the situation grows more tense?
Well, increased in the sense that our tempo to prepare commands for deployment has definitely increased because commands that perhaps were not going to deploy quite so soon have now find themselves getting ready to go again. Most of them are out there, so my job day has gotten a bit longer. Hmm. But on the whole, Fleet and Family Support has provided these services 365 days of the year, even during our peacekeeping missions, apart from the struggle that is happening right now, there probably is a slight increase. Whenever deployment becomes part of your everyday life and is not just something that is out there that is going to happen to us maybe 3 months from now, but it encroaches upon you and comes into your everyday life, at that point, your stress level definitely increases, and some people are just not ready to handle it. Mm-hmm. And so they look to us to provide them with the tools that they need to be able to manage this thing called deployment.
Last year, the murders of spouses at Fort Bragg raised a lot of concerns that service members and their families were not getting the needed psychological support because of a stigma against seeking counseling. Have you noticed any change?
I think there has been a change in the sense that we have worked very hard at putting the stigma to rest. For this reason, we have a lot of programs that are available that provide information to build one's self-awareness and personal growth that is available to them all the time. And when you can access those types of things, then Fleet and Family Centers throughout the nation become a resource for help and information rather than an agency that is only there when I'm in a crisis mode and somehow might take advantage of the crisis that I'm experiencing and create a problem for me and my sailor. And I think that attitude is diminishing as we show that we're there in good weather and in bad, and to provide information, not just to help with the crisis. And I can see that almost on an everyday basis.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to another caller. Brandy joins us now from Grand Junction, Colorado.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment on the person that was speaking earlier about reservists being called up with children at home. We had a situation here in our school where one parent was called up and then the second parent had made arrangements to take care of things as was described in the process earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second parent was called up the next week.
And that's extraordinarily difficult, but it can't, Teresa, it can't be all that many people.
It isn't. The Navy specifically tries very hard to recognize that if the sailor is going to be focused on the mission, we also have to be reasonable about how they're going to manage their personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And a reasonable attitude would be that at least one parent would be able to be home with the children.
Mm-hmm.
The situation that was described, I agree, is probably outside the norm. Most of the time there is a gap, if anything. If there's a short period of overlap where perhaps a mom has deployed and dad is not quite back yet, that might be something that we could expect to occur. But on the whole, we try very hard to make sure that there is a parent or a person who normally would take care of this child available if it isn't the parent with the child in spite of the deployment cycle. So that's something that is unusual, but it does happen, and it does present a great deal of stress for the people that are trying to manage it, and we're hoping that that scenario doesn't increase.
Well, these are wonderful kids, and they're going to come through this just fine. They're in elementary school.
And who's taking care of them now?
They have family members here in town that are taking care, and a wonderful school community that's really rallying around. But I'm glad to hear it's not a particularly common situation. It had never occurred to me that two parents could be called up, and they both, like I said, got called out within a week of each other, and they're both out for a year each.
Wow.
Thanks, Neil.
Thanks very much for the call, Brandy.
You bet.
An email question for you from Steve. As wrenching as the separation is for all military families, it's especially wrenching for members of the military who are gay or lesbian and who leave partners and families behind. For these gay and lesbian partners and families, there is no military support network, as these families must not exist because of the military's onerous don't ask, don't tell policy. Is that something that you've had to deal with?
No, it is not. I have not had personal experience with that. But I do know that any service member, regardless of their marital status or whatever personal relationships they maintain, they can designate any individual with power of attorney to act for them regarding a lot of different matters, just with absolutely no familial relationship whatsoever. So if an individual was involved in a relationship that we may consider perhaps not a man and wife being married, they could still make sure that their personal interests were taken care of by extending power of attorney to whatever individual that they choose. And that could be regarding financial matters, legal matters, all things that perhaps a spouse, a traditional spouse, might do for you. And that is easily attained by the service member through the legal department. That's not a service that Fleet and Family Support provides, but our legal offices do provide that to sailors. And may I say this, before the sailor leaves, in most cases, except in the most extreme cases, preparation regarding all of these matters is offered to service members. We have what is called a pre-deployment family night. Single sailors are there as well, and we talk about all of the issues that need to be addressed before that ship leaves or before the sailor flies to the station where they're going to be, because many of them are not traveling on ships now. They're mm-hmm. flying to their destination. But we try to think of every eventuality. We give them checklists based on marital status because we know that different situations require different preparation. We really do try to put everything they need into their hands so that they can focus on the mission and be relaxed about what's going on here at home.
We're talking about military families. Earlier, we had promised you an interview with the Spanish Foreign Minister, Ana Palacio. She has been called away on other business and will not be able to make it this hour. We apologize for that. We will try to reschedule her for another appearance here on Talk of the Nation, but that's not going to be possible today. But we are going to continue talking with Teresa Misenko about families in the military. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Wanted to read an email we got from Chris Koger. I think it's important, he writes, to point out that women are not the only gender involved. My wife has been deployed, and it's just as hard on me as it is on anyone else. Are more and more men needing these services as their wives are deployed?
Well, certainly. More and more women are deploying every day, and we are prepared to help the men as well. In fact, we're finding now that more and more men are coming to the support group meetings, to the pre-deployment programs, and bringing to us a new awareness of some of the challenges that they deal with. Perhaps they were not the primary caretaker of the children before their spouse deployed, but now they're having to deal with that issue, as long as not having their partner, the person that they rely on to make a lot of life's decisions right next to them. Now she is at sea or in the Persian Gulf or wherever she may be. And so it has turned the tables. But we're finding that more and more men are coming forth to share with us what it is that they know and what they've learned. So, yes, it is the new day.
Our next caller is Helen, who's on the line with us from Adrian, Michigan.
Hi, Helen.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question. We're one of those military families where both parents may very easily get deployed. The husband is leaving actually this weekend, and then mine could come at any time, my call. And my son is 12 years old in school, has to deal with students saying to him, are your parents going to kill people? What are they going to do? What kind of things should we tell him to tell his friends at school as far as what we're dealing with?
Well, I think it would be hard to say exactly what to tell the child, because a lot of it has to do with the emotional framework in which the question is asked, how your child feels about talking about their parents in general. Some children talk very easily about what my dad or mom does, regardless of their profession, and others feel more uncomfortable. I would say it would be a great idea for you to contact the local Fleet and Family Support Center or support center in your area, because I am sure that they have a lot of literature that speaks to this question specifically and gives a lot of different scenarios and conversations that parents can open up with children to prepare them, even if the questions are not arising, so that they can send their kids out to school and say, hey, you know, if these things come up at school, we want you to know what it is that mom and dad are doing and how to respond, because when you know how to respond, you feel more comfortable. Mm. And so I would say that would probably be the best thing to do. We have an incredible amount of literature available to help parents in helping their children deal with deployment, and we'd be happy to make that available to you.
Helen, how old are your kids?
12 and 16, still at home.
And so they're quite aware of all of the stuff that's going on.
Oh, they've been planning on it for several months now. We've been prepared for the call for several months, and my husband finally got his this week. We know he's going anytime. They're trying to, like you said, they're trying not to take me also, but if it comes to it, it comes to it, you know, and we're prepared for that.
And you've made arrangements for all of this in the eventuality?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we have everything taken care of.
It's a little easier if they're a little older, or is it even more disconcerting when, teenagers are just about teenagers?
I believe it's easier when they're older. I know it is for me. I don't know about for them so much, but for me it would be much harder to leave them if they were babies. And now I know that I can talk to them, tell them what's happening. I know they'll be fine. You know, it's easier when I can talk to them at the age they're at now.
And worst comes to worst, at least they can make their own dinner.
And then they're old enough that I can write them letters, I can call them, you know, and that kind of stuff. So.
And as you, you're in the National Guard?
Right.
Both of you?
Right.
So is there a support community around there for that you can call on, or is that the reason you were asking about whether there is one?
We have a local family support that's just kind of gotten started with the idea that our unit was going to get deployed, because we've never been deployed in 20 years that I've been in the unit. And so when this came up and it looked like, hey, this might happen to us, we started developing one, but they still don't have, you know, all the necessary things that they need to get it going. They're working on that right now.
And you say your husband's going next week?
Right.
Well, we wish him all the best and hope that they work it out so you don't have to go as well.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Helen, thanks very much for the phone call. Teresa Misenko, we appreciate your being with us as well.
Thank you so much, Neil.
Teresa Misenko is a deployment specialist, the San Diego Fleet and Family Support Center, and she was with us from the studios of member station KPBS in San Diego, and our thanks to them as well. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.